Good morning to you all, a good morning and a welcome to those who are worshipping here with us in person, and a warm welcome to those of you who are sitting at home worshipping with us via the live stream. It's good. You will be pleased to know, no notice slides. But on the other hand, there is just one notice to say that there is a tradecraft stall at the back of church, and just go and spend all your money there after the service. If you haven't any money, I'm sure you can negotiate with Janet to pay later at very reasonable interest rates. So there we are. And today, as you can see from the screen, our theme is growing in gentleness as we go through the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We're getting towards the end. We've got to gentleness today. And here's my advice to you. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Actually, it's not original, it's actually Paul's advice to the Ephesians. Because, as you will hear in the readings later on, Jesus said, "Learn from me, for I am gentle." So, Heavenly Father, we would pray for a spirit of gentleness to move through your house this morning. May each of us be so filled with your Spirit and know your gentleness in all things. We ask that you would come and be in our hearts now. Build us up. Build us for the week ahead, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And we do have some bands of marriage. And just to say that Robert and Jessica are with us this morning, and we really don't care about the noise from the back. I can cope. It's not a problem. It's lovely to have you here. So the formal bit goes like this, says he. Where's the bit of paper that tells me what I've got to say? I publish the banns of marriage between Robert James Pugh and Jessica Louise Seal, both of this parish. This is for the third and final time of asking, and if any of you know any reason why they may not be married, you are to tell me. Oh, well, that seems okay then. So let's just pray for Robert and Jessica. Lord, the source of all true love, we pray for this couple. Grant to them joy of heart, seriousness of mind, and reverence of spirit, that as they enter into the oneness of marriage, they may be strengthened and guided by you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we've done all that, and I've got the certificate for you. And just to prove that it's all legal, I can sign the book as well. All done. And so we will now continue to worship God as we stand and sing, "Jesus is the name we honor."
Just with me, oh Lord, the name of Christ.
so as we grow in gentleness and declare God's praise, let's also declare together our faith in our gentle and loving God as we say together, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you like to be seated and sit or kneel as we reflect that perhaps over this last week we haven't been as gentle as we ought to have been? Perhaps we haven't been as patient and loving and kind as we know we ought to have been. But God is a faithful and forgiving God. And so we can pray together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who are truly sorry, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now I'm actually going to leave that on the screen just for a minute because I can see the next slide that's coming up, which I'd put an animation in, but I can see that the animation has now disappeared. So you, and I'm going to invite Roger Ashman, one of our members. He's going to come up here and he's going to answer a few questions. And I'm going to give him a microphone so he can do that. Here we go. You want that one. You don't have to take it. You're all set. You're all set. The first question is a nice, easy one. Roger, where were you at 1 o'clock this morning?
I was on the streets of Worcester, city centre, Corn Market, High Street, between about 10 o'clock and 2:45 this morning.
I was in bed and asleep. That does mean, Roger, you may go to sleep during the sermon. We'll still give you a coffee at the end of the service.
Thank you.
So, you are in fact a street pastor.
Yes.
Now, how did you get involved with that?
There was just a leaflet at St Andrew's Church, and I picked it up and thought, that's interesting. So I just went along for an introductory talk, and when I arrived there, I sat down to this lady next door, who just happened to be Trish Gordon. And so we clicked, and we both had decided with the talk and the introduction, the information, that we would both become street pastors. Quite a bit of training, but got through that okay.
And so what do you actually do now that you've been trained?
Our strap line is caring, listening, and helping. So that's what we do on the streets. I think, in a sense, the kit bag we carry gives a sort of idea of what we do. We got dustpan and brush to sweep up the glass on the street. Yes, it might be 10, 15 bottles or something, each one all smashed over the street. It stops people going to hospital. Ladies, after walking in stilettos for some time, they kick off their shoes, walk in bare feet, don't realise there's glass on the streets. We have flip-flops, again, for the people in bare feet. We're well known for giving out flip-flops. In fact, we had a special version just recently, a beautiful bright pink. We carry first aid bags, sick bags, wet wipes, foil blankets for those who get cold and need wrapping up. So all of those represent sort of the helping side. And you can't do some help without some caring and some listening.
And I hope that that's all done with the gentleness we're looking at this morning. So what do you actually sort of say, or and how do you act?
Well, I think the best way to answer that is to give you a bit of an example from last night. Which is a situation I hadn't come across, so it was a learning experience. McDonald's is open all night, really busy. It's really busy. So just opposite, there was a young lady who was being sick, sat on, there's a low stone wall, so she was sat there, and two guys, one each side, and I'll call them one guy with a beard and a guy in the yellow jacket. So bearing in mind that she wasn't speaking very well, because you assume drink, but not necessarily. She was just sick and she wasn't saying much, very quietly as well. So this is where the gentleness comes in, is to actually just try and find out what's happening. So it really takes a lot of time. I don't know how long we were there, but and the guy in the yellow jacket was really helpful. So what the first bit of information we got was boyfriend was gone over to McDonald's. So how long? Bearing in mind this takes time, and it's how long are you gone? How long? Sir. How long? Oh, half an hour. Yeah. Patience. So he'd gone about half an hour. So this guy in yellow jacket wants to help. So I'll go and find him. I know who he is. So he goes over and then comes back. Someone suggested the German kebab shop. What they're like, I have no ideas. So off he goes. And I was sat there with her, and I managed to get a bit of information from her. She'd lost her keys. Sorry, her boyfriend seemed to have her bag, her keys, her money, her phone, so she had nothing. And she just kept saying, I want to go home. I want to go home. There's a guy who was, bearing in mind we're in team of four, and the guy I was with who was watching was has been doing this for about street pastors for about 10 years, so he's got a lot of experience, and he was feeling just slightly uncomfortable, as I was. Couldn't quite put my finger on it. So this guy in the yellow jacket, anyway, we thought of a taxi. Yes, because we don't actually offer a taxi service, but and we don't usually fund them, but in this case, how's she going to get home? But then she said, no house, a bit later, yeah, no house keys. So if you got a taxi home, she couldn't get in. So that was stuck. Kim, our leader, decided to go back to base to our CR prayer partner, Sue, who was possibly willing to offer her a stayover. Again, that's, I don't know whether that's the rules, but that's the way. That was the only way we could think of working this out. In the meantime, I was sending up a few arrow prayers. Lord, help us. What are we going to do? You know, we've got this lady here, two friends, apparently friends. We couldn't tell. And while I was there, sitting next to her, I said to her just quietly, "Do you know these two guys?" And I think I got a, "I don't know." So again, flags are waved there. Flags are waved. And I went over to Kim, our leader, and I said to him, "I don't think we should go, leave, until we got her in a taxi or her boyfriend comes home." So he said, "Okay." Meanwhile, as I got up, this guy in the yellow jacket came, sat right next to her again. So I'd lost my place. That's a learning. If you sit next to someone vulnerable, don't lose your place. So what it turned out was, eventually the boyfriend came, sorry if I'm wittering on, eventually the boyfriend came back, yes, not a very effusive greeting, didn't come back with any burgers or anything. So again, we just stood back and watched. We're eyes, all the time, eyes. And we established they knew each other. That was an achievement. They knew each other. And then gradually over time, and with two girls as well, one of the girls went off to get a taxi. Yeah? And then they gradually, but the guy in the yellow jacket walked behind them, and then he just went off. No goodbye, no nothing. And what we think was happening was we had no ideas of the intentions of this guy in the yellow jacket. Could be good, could be bad. But both Alan and me just got an uneasy feeling, and you've got to go with those. And we decided we'll stay there until she is either on her way home or her boyfriend comes, at the point at which we think she's safe. Bearing in mind also that I'd had a conversation with the yellow jacket man maybe half an hour earlier, who was talking to me about his drinking habits, which start at 9 o'clock in the morning and finish 9 o'clock at night, and then he's absolutely gobsmacked by the amount of drunks that are on the city centre. So, you know, you can see why there's an uneasy feeling. So what we think was happening, the guy in the beard, he didn't say a word. But at the end, when we all got up to go, he just walked past us and said, "Well done, guys. You did well in that situation." You're just thinking, what's that? So what we had a good talk about it afterwards, yeah, to try and, you know, just go over it and just learn from it. What we think might be happening there is the guy with the beard was just sat there with her, realizing she was vulnerable, and just watched. Yes? Didn't say anything. The guy in the yellow jacket, we don't know. Whether his intentions were good, bad, we don't know. But we just got this uneasy feeling. But at the end of it, she was safe. And that was the most important thing to us, that she was safe. Because her boyfriend came back and they walked off to the taxi. And they only had... We didn't see them in the taxi, but they were in a safe group. And that was the most important thing to us. So we needed nearly all the fruits of the Spirit. Yes? So that's one example. I was going to give you a couple of other examples, but they go on too long. I just wanted to say, I think all these fruits of the Spirit are rooted in love. So I love what I do as a street pastor. And when you're confronted with the homeless person, of which there's many we saw and chatted to last night, you know, the drunk who can manage a conversation, your heart just goes out to them. You know, why are you in this situation? What can we do to help? Do you just want someone to listen to? Many people just come up and talk to us, you know. Their street pastors are well known there, not only for giving out flip-flops, but just listening. And it's rooted in love, and that's, we need so many of the fruits of the Spirit to be able to do this. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for coming, Roger. Let's just say, Heavenly Father, we do just pray for those people whom Roger met last night, the guy in the yellow jacket, the boyfriend, the bearded gent, and the girl who was clearly in need. So we do ask, Lord, that through their encounter with the street pastors, they may experience something of your love,
And we thank you that Roger and his friends are able to go and do this work, and we pray that you will bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Roger. And I guess Roger has already done this, but we can stand and we can sing that we too will offer up our lives in spirit and in truth. If you'd like to sit down, Andrew's going to come and read to us. You can't sit down, Andrew. You've got to move.
The reading is taken from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, and then again from Ephesians. And the Matthew version is also from the Message. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Or as the Message puts it, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Ephesians. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. As we had those lovely words from Peter introducing the service this morning, the spirit of gentleness to move among us, God's people. And as St. Paul saying, be completely humble, be gentle and be patient. What we've just been hearing from Roger, importance of patience, of gentleness. Lord, move among us this morning. Move in each of our hearts, in the hardness that we gather around us through the week. We so need to hear Jesus say, I am gentle and humble of spirit. Thank you. Amen. I wonder whether you see yourself as a gentle person. I like to think I'm fairly gentle until I'm one suddenly dealing with a grandchild who needs slight discipline. But I learned the other day I'm not actually as gentle as I think I am. I was just cutting, we have these beautiful loaves from, I won't say from where, but it's a lovely soft brown loaf. And I was cutting it like this. And my good wife said to me, for heaven's sake, Paul, don't hold it so hard. Be gentle the way you hold it. Otherwise, you just squash it. So I am learning. I am growing in gentleness. And I still find it's difficult because it doesn't easily, I've done it, but growing in gentleness. Growing in gentleness. I wonder how you see yourself. Whether you see yourself as, well, gentle and yet at the same time, not so gentle. I'm going to make three other preliminary points. The first is on this melon, my favourite. Whenever we can have melon for breakfast, this is my favourite fruit. And I've actually cut this one into 9 pieces. Why do you think it's 9? Exactly. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness last week, gentleness, self-control. 9 pieces of this beautiful melon. And I might say, well, I'm not very gentle, but I'm fairly faithful, so I'll have what we said last week on faithfulness, but it's not easy for me to be very peaceful, but anyway, and we choose bits of it. But dear Roger, I'm going to slightly put you right here. Do you mind? Because I'm putting myself right after many years. It is not fruits of the Spirit. It is fruit. St. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's not these separate bits, it's the whole lot. You are all to have love and joy and peace and, where do we go from there? Patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's all there. And you can't choose, because this is a gift of the Spirit. It's not, oh dear, I'm not very gentle, actually, I'm quite hard, I'd be no good, as one person might say, as a street pastor, because I've got too much aggression. That's not the point. The Spirit's fruit is gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is all these 9, but all in one. In other words, my good friends, you have every one of these in yourself. And the difficulty is, we cover them up and they get lost. And we need others to help to bring them up again to the surface and to be able for the fruit of the Spirit to be with us, in us all. And my other preliminary point is that gentle is not weak. I would say that, Roger, you and your lovely team last night, you have to have a tough gentleness. You have to have a gentleness that is willing to be really quite tough. And as someone said, in fact, I get this quote from Nelson Mandela to Michelle Obama, the biography I'm reading at the moment. Real change happens slowly, not just over months and years, but over decades and lifetimes. It is a tough, growing change that takes place. Where do we find our role model? That wonderful reading Andrew's just read. Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Just think back, how you think about Jesus. Where do you feel he was gentle? Maybe gentle in a tough way in his life. Sitting at a well, exhausted, sending his disciples on in the heat of the day. He's gentle with himself. The Lord saying, actually, I'm exhausted. I just want to sit by a well. You go and get the bread. Jesus was gentle with himself. Come apart and rest a while. Be gentle. And in that wonderful passage, when Jesus says, come to me, all who labor, for I am gentle, and you will find rest to your soul. So gentle and rest go together. Rest doesn't mean doing nothing. You can be very active, but you've got rest deep within. And Jesus is saying to be gentle and to be able to rest deep within are the ways that you learn from me. Come apart and rest. A woman comes to wash his feet with her hair. It takes a very gentle person to receive a woman washing your feet with hair, particularly in that culture. He comes before Pilate and the high priest. And twice Jesus, as he confronts Pilate, and Pilate says, "Don't you say anything to defend yourself?" And Jesus answers not a word. He comes to the Caiaphas, the religious authority, the greatest one there was. "Don't you defend yourself?" Jesus says not a word. I'm going to pass this picture. It's a Dutch picture from the 17th century. I'm not going to try and pronounce the Dutch painter. It's just a wonderful picture of Jesus before Caiaphas, standing before him. If ever there's a picture of gentleness, he's got his hands, but they're not closed. They're like this in front of him. And you've got Caiaphas with his finger like that. It's so powerful. Peter, we'll just pass it round in the next few minutes, because it is such a powerful one of Jesus not defending himself, no closed fist, open hands in front of him. And there you see the religious authority. There you see, I think, often people like us who can so easily be pointing a finger. Life does get hard, doesn't it? Look a moment, just look at your hands if you can. Someone said to me this last week as I was going to share this, and I said, "You know, any thoughts you've got?" And the person said, "Well, when we look at our hand, what does all the work? Are our fingers? These fingers do all the work, but there's a still center, and this is the most sensitive part. This is the soft part of the hand. It's the palm of the hand. How do we learn to unclench and begin to have a palm of the hand which is open? It's a lifetime, in a sense. It's a lifetime. We could even begin again this morning. Just open the hand. This is the still center, the still part of my hand, the still part of my life. All the work goes on, but you have a still center. Resting center in our hearts." The other way, as well as looking at our hand, is just thinking of our image of God. I remember a Hebrew rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, in conversation with J. John, the great evangelist in Coventry Cathedral. Amazing to see these two in this dialogue. And the Hebrew rabbi turned to J. John and he said, "You've got a problem, John. You've got a problem that your word God in English is very hard. It's a hard word. And I feel you've got a hard God very often." He said, we Jewish people, we've got many words for God. You know, Elohim is the word for God. God is hard. Elohim is a beautifully soft word. Lord is not so hard, but still a bit hard. We have Yahweh, Adonai, beautiful word. And he went through different words of God. And J. John got up and said, "Yes, you're right. My God sometimes become very hard." Find another sort of God who's not hard. My dad was my headmaster in school here in Malvern, and we lived in schools all our lives up to my late teens. And I struggled with this. I've really struggled, because my God so often says, "You've got to achieve this. You've got to get there, you know." And I've struggled to actually understand even a tiny bit of what it means to have a tough, gentle father. But that is what our Father is. Just challenge yourself this morning. maybe you need to find another sort of God. Learn from me. Wonderful words from Saint Irenaeus in the second century. Beautiful words. I've often come back to them in my life. Offer yourself to God in a soft and tractable way, lest you lose the imprint of his fingers. Offer yourself to God a soft, like a hand, tractable, which means not hard, it's flexible, it's open, it's moving, lest you lose the imprint of his fingers upon you. Just pray that that may be something even today, Lord, that you open us up, make us soft within, give us this tough gentleness, so that we don't lose the imprint of your fingers upon us. And this word, gentle, I went back to William Barclay, a wonderful commentator, and he says, it's a kindness and gracious word. He says, always angry at the right time, never angry at the wrong. Isn't that beautiful? When you're gentle, never angry, always angry, sorry, at the right time, never angry at the wrong time. Gosh, I think of how I dealt with my kids sometimes. Sometimes it's a tough gentleness. It's the right time to be angry. With a colleague, you've got to be angry. Sometimes even with a partner, you've got to be angry. But there's also a wrong time. And that can be so damaging and so hurtful. Barclay says, this is the kind of gentleness, it's the strength of steel. It's a tough gentleness. Tough gentleness. Just think of places where you find gentleness in your own life. Very hot this morning at breakfast, just to open a window, let the breeze in, a soft breeze. Isn't that beautiful when you experience this in hot weather? A gentle voice. Do you have somebody whose voice you love to hear on the telephone? Mostly I don't, but I love to hear one or two when they do phone. What about your eyes? You know, in the lockdown, we didn't see people able to smile. But we put these things on, didn't we? But you see, when you put this on, you look at someone's eyes much more, like this. You see the eyes. And some eyes smile. I've said to several people, I said, it's wonderful, your eyes smile. Isn't that beautiful? Gentle eyes. Look at Jesus. Jesus looked upon that young proud man who thought everything was right in his life. Jesus looked upon him and loved him. The eyes of Jesus. Look at Simon Peter. Betrayed Jesus. Luke says beautifully, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered. The eyes of Jesus. You find it in the scriptures. Such gentle, tough, gentle eyes. We've looked at our hands, so we won't stay there. Look at being gentle with time. How gentle are we with time? I come back to this book recommended by Dave months ago, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, by this young pastor with kids and a very busy life. Be gentle with yourself. Be present with God and love as best you can. Be gentle with yourself. Be present with God. Love as best you can. Can't do more than that. What about how we walk? Walk a bit slower this week. You often can't because we've got things to do, but just a slow walk. Be gentle with yourself. What about when something goes wrong in your life and a friend of ours who broke his arm, very active man, and I talked on the phone with him a couple of times and he said, Paul, I can't do anything. I feel useless. My wife's having to do everything, but I'm learning to be gentle with myself. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Learn to be gentle with yourself. And in the area of work, a newspaper talking about the need for softer skills in the context of cricket, new test captain and all of that, if you're into that. But he goes on to say, but this is a work ethic, because softer skills in work involve clarity of thinking, communication skills, being composed, having empathy, sensitivity, understanding others. And some of the best CEOs are weak in these areas, and so they bring in all kinds of consultants and spend millions to instill the gift of soft skills in an organization. Some of you will be aware of this. It's so important, the soft skills. And friends, this is for all of us. None of us can stand aside. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the gentle, the meek. The word's the same, gentle. They shall inherit the earth. Dwell on that for this week. If I'm the spirit of gentleness, come, I inherit the earth. You women, 1 Peter 3, what is beauty? Your inner self, an unfading beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit. Think of a woman who's got a gentle, quiet spirit. I think of a 90-year-old. I'll be seeing her this week, known her for 30 years. She's now 90. She has a gentle spirit. I've never known her get angry. She might have needed to. Think of somebody who has that kind of spirit. Gentle, quiet spirit. How does prayer affect us? Our prayer, our worship. We should go out, you know, almost different people from this worship today in a gentle, quiet spirit. St. Paul says, yes, in all our intercessions, we need our thanksgivings, prayers to God. Why? To lead a gentle life. This is one, where one or two people take notes. I always see dear Janet there. She's wonderful, isn't she? Just takes notes. And I do. I always take notes when I'm listening because I can't remember it all. But our prayers are meant to lead to a gentle and peaceful life. And one last one. Who refreshes you in your life as a gentle person? Do you know, St. Paul writes to Philemon and he says, refresh my heart in Christ. Here's St. Paul saying, I need refreshment. There's some wonderful people in this church who refresh my heart. Who refreshes yours? Sometimes we can't find them in church, but we find them in the pub, or you find them in a women's group, or you find them, you know, with a friend that you've got, or even next-door neighbour. Wonderful, you've got a next-door neighbour who refreshes you. And then he says also in Philemon, this little book in the New Testament, he says, and you, Philemon, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Be people who refresh the hearts of others. And if you go on to Galatians 6 after Galatians 5 on the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says someone's gone wrong in the church, things aren't as they should be, but with a spirit of gentleness, the same word, spirit of gentleness, what Peter was praying at the beginning of this service, a spirit of gentleness to come on the church and forgive somebody. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when a church learns what it is to have a tough gentleness in it. I'm just ending now with a poem, and my time is almost up. It's a wonderful poem. I've got copies of it here, which I'll leave at the back of the church. And when I can't sleep at night, this is the poem I use. It's a gentle poem about a gentle spirit. It's by Wendell Berry. It's called The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of my life and my children's lives, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty in the water, and the great heron feeds. And I come to the peace of wild things. They do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day blind stars waiting with their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Lord, bless you that you can give us this kind of peace in the midst of the terrors and violence of life that often wakes us in the night. Lead us to these places where you dwell. Lord, take our eyes, just soften them even now as we look at people. Look at each other in this church. Look at our next door neighbour. Look at people at work. Lord, take our hands, soften them. Help us to keep them open. Take our hearts that we refresh others, and others we allow them to refresh us. Take our lives and let them be totally, Lord, offered unto thee. In the name of Christ. Amen. I think we're going to sing, actually. It's a very short one, As We Are Gathered. It's a beautiful one. Why not just remain, seated or standing, whatever's comfortable to you. Be in touch with your body. Stay sitting, stand. But this is just a beautiful one. As We Are Gathered, Jesus is here.
would you do that? Thank you. Let us pray. And at the end of the prayers, at the end of each section, I shall say, Lord, in your mercy, and you say, hear our prayer. How amazing that as we are gathered, Jesus is here. Lord, we still ourselves in your presence. We open our hearts to your power, and we pray for the imprint of your fingers to stay upon us. You thank you that you said about prayers and petitions, you said have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And actually, Lord, that's quite difficult, but we bring these things to you. We thank you for your presence. We pray for the street pastors, Lord. And not so far away, just Worcester, there's those struggling hugely at night with all this stuff. And bless those who go. Have mercy on our country, Lord, that we've got in such a muddle. And you say prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Well, we thank you for those who are there working for good. And Lord, we bring to you this week particularly our country and our government and the selection of another leader. And we thank you that overall, Lord, you reign and you rule. And we pray that you will be so much at work in this process. We pray, Lord, for a person of integrity to lead this country, lead us in ways that are right. And we pray for you to be sovereign in that process, whether they know you or not, whether they know you're at work or not, that you will be Lord in this situation. And we pray for your blessing on this country of ours. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in Ukraine, many of whom are Christians calling out to you. And we pray that you will be their rock and their fortress and their redeemer. You will walk with them in their circumstances of devastation. Lord, we bring them to you in the silence of our hearts. We bring to you also those who negotiate in the background quietly. Those who are working towards peace. We bring to you President Putin. We bring to you President Zelensky. And we say, Lord, we pray for your presence, your intervention in that place. Lord, in your mercy. And today is actually Sea Sunday. And we remember those who are working at sea, but particularly we pray for Guy Crumpler, who is the son of Andrew and Susan, who are here. We pray for him in his work as sea chaplain in Seattle, that you will guide and lead him. You'll show him how to be a channel of your love and your peace and your gentleness to those he meets. So, Lord, we pray for sea chaplains today. So, Lord, in your mercy, and we bring to you our own situations that you know about. And we thank you, Lord, that you walk with each one of us this week. And may we bring to the Lord in, I'm going to allow a little pause for us to bring to the Lord both our own situations that we want prayer for, and anyone particularly on our hearts who needs the Lord's touch this week. So, Lord, we bring them to you, and I'm going to have a pause now for a minute. So, Lord, in your mercy, and I'm going to pray, merciful Father, and we accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who live against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Amazing that in all his faithfulness and loving gentleness, God can be interested in each one of us as we stand for our final hymn. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?
Thank you.
At this point, somebody going to bring an offering forward? Why not? Thanks, Jackie. Lord, these are only small tokens of all the good things that you have given us. And so we pray that these tokens and that all the other things that we've been entrusted with may be used to build your kingdom and bring you glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make us perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. If something in this service has left you thinking, actually, I could do to pray that through a bit more, there will be a prayer team at the back. If what you need is a cup of coffee to wake you up because you were in Worcester at 1 o'clock this morning, there's coffee here. Have a good week, one and all.